Moses has died. He had brought Israel out of slavery into Egypt. He had guided them through their wilderness wanderings. He had received the Ten Commandments. He had brought them to the very edge of the homeland God had promised them. But now it was time for someone else to take over. Step forward, Joshua. Called by God, empowered by God, surrounded with the promises of God, he is assured of victory, provided he trusts God and allows God to work. He has gathered his army commanders together. He has alerted the people. Everything is, as we would say, good to go. But before he launches an invasion, he sends in two spies to take a look at the situation, report back especially about the heavily fortified city of Jericho. Now, immediately, there's a question raised here. Was Joshua showing a lack of trust in God by sending in these spies? After all, hadn't God promised victory? Why not just sit and wait for it all to happen? And yes, God did use miraculous means to overthrow Jericho. And it certainly wasn't what Joshua was expecting. But Joshua didn't know that at the time. He had to make his own preparations as any wise leader would. But also he had to be ready to follow God's way if it was different and a different plan emerged. There's a great truth here. We need to trust God for life events, the known and the unknown. But we should not take him for granted either. There will be an outcome, however it comes, but we must trust God and play our part, just as Joshua was now doing. We make our plans. We don't just sit and wait. We don't just sit on our hands. We make our plans, but always with our thinking centered on Proverbs 19 and verse 21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I think somebody else has reworded that to say, man proposes, but God disposes. And then we have the people God uses. Enter Rahab. Now Joshua 2 and verse 1 calls it for what it is. She is described as a prostitute named Rahab. The Bible doesn't cover things up. The Bible calls it for what it is and how it is. She had heard of the great things God had done for Israel in bringing them out of Egypt and to the borders of their promised homeland. Now, hers was not a strong faith or even a perfect faith, but she believed in the living God and was not ashamed to say so. And then she's mentioned in the New Testament. Firstly, in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 1 and verse 5. She was the mother of Boaz, who became the husband of Ruth. She's mentioned in Hebrews 11 and verse 31, that great chapter listing the heroes of the faith. And again, the Bible calls it how it is. Hebrews 11 and verse 31, by faith the prostitute Rahab. And then in James 2 and verse 25, in the same way was not even the prostitute Rahab considered righteous for what she did. She's mentioned in the New Testament. We don't know much about her, but she was a woman of faith, imperfect as she was. Now, you see, God uses imperfect people to serve him. In his grace, he uses people we might think would never become his servants. And maybe sometimes we ourselves think, I could never serve God. I could never be part of that. I could never be involved with that. You know, I always say we make a mistake when we're making announcements about people. We appeal for helpers. We should be talking about ministries. The ministries in our churches that people can become involved in, ministries under God. And you might think, no, I'm not good enough. But look at Rahab. God could use her, imperfect as she was. We're all sinners. We may not like it, but we are. We should always remember that. But if our lives are open to God, he will take us up and use us in the work of his kingdom. He can raise us up. You ever listen to that song? I think it's classed maybe as a pop song, but it's got a lot of spiritual truth in it. You raise me up. God will raise us up, just as he raised this woman up. Then faith and action belong together. The two spies arrived in Jericho. Even the king of Jericho knew they were there. He was searching for them. But where did they go first? Wasn't it to the house of Rahab? There might have been a number of reasons for going there. But providentially, God brings them to the house of a believer. She may well have been a shady lady, as one of the commentators says, but she was still a believer. Chapter 2 and verse 8, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. We have heard of how the Lord, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She had heard about what God had been doing for, with, and through the people of Israel. She had heard of the great events of their history. She believed in the power of Almighty God. Do we sing the hymn, O Church, Arise? Is this one of our shortcomings in the modern world today? We don't believe in the power of God. We don't believe in the power of God to change things, to change society, to change the world, to touch hearts. And maybe therefore our prayer lives lack that vibrancy that should be there. The king of Jericho, he sent men to search her house for the two spies. But she hid them and she said, oh yes, they've been in our house. But she knew nothing, she said, about them and didn't know where they had gone. Now there's another problem here. She was lying, wasn't she? She was lying. She knew fine rightly where they were, up on the roof. But she was lying. Maybe in this case the end justified the means. But we should never, ever, ever go down the route of trying to make the end justify the means. Taking shortcuts with the truth. Of course she lied. But God was dealing with imperfect people. He was dealing with an imperfect situation. And one of the things the New Testament teaches us is this, that God is able to bring good out of evil. God is able to work all things together for his good and his glory. He used an imperfect woman in an imperfect situation, a very shady lady, to accomplish his will, because he's God. And that's what God can do. Wonderfully, he can bring good out of evil. But her faith led to action. She demonstrated her faith by her actions in protecting the two spies. Now, faith will always be accompanied by works of service. Those who know Christ will wish to be involved in the ministry of the work of his kingdom, whether it be among older people, or the children, or the teenagers. There's a ministry. Faith is always accompanied by works of service. And then, lastly, don't you love it when the preacher says, lastly? And then the next thing he says is, one more point before I go. And then he says, I would just like to say before I finish. And the congregation's sitting there saying to themselves, I wish he would finish. We have a rescue which was needed. Rahab believed. She knew that God was going before his people into the promised land. She knew that he is mighty in power, and no one and nothing could stand in his way. And she asked the two spies that she and her family might be spared when Jericho falls. She's given instructions. She's given a red cord. She's told to gather her family. She's told to hang the red cord in her window when the attack on Jericho began. And the red cord would be a sign so that the invasion would pass her by and her family would be saved. You know, the cynical person, the worldly man, would be very quick to say here, well, she just cut a deal with the spies. That's what she did. That's what we might think. But there's a sense in which this is a covenant. And a covenant demands, calls for commitments and promises. And in a sense, this was a covenant that God would deliver on. But Rahab had heard of the great events associated with Almighty God. And all the world has heard or can hear of God's greatest work. A work that stands right at the center of history. It's there. It won't go away. And it challenges all the world and us here today. And that is the cross. The cross of the Lord Jesus. Rahab was given a promise. God makes a promise to the world today that there is salvation in the cross, that there is a Savior from sin and death. And that's the Lord Jesus. But to receive that promise, to see it carried out in our lives, we must come by the way of the cross. For Rahab, there was no other way than to display that red cord. For us, there is no other way than to come to the cross, to claim God's promises, to invite the Savior of the cross to become our Savior. And that's a real covenant. Promises by God. Decisions, commitments by us. But it's different from the covenant that Rahab made. For this is a covenant of grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is a wonderful thing. The grace of God is a wonderful thing. None of us deserve that Jesus should die for us. None of us can earn that place we so long for in heaven. None of us can do that. Not one of us. For it is not by works. It is by grace. The grace of Almighty God. Sometimes I think maybe in church life we talk too much about judgment. We need to talk about that, but sometimes I think we talk too much about judgment. Maybe we need to talk more about grace. Maybe we need to be filled more with the grace of God ourselves. Maybe we need to be showing that grace to a world outside our doors where people are hurting, where people feel lost, where people feel alone. And maybe this morning there are those here and you're hurting. And maybe you feel alone. But there's the grace of God. And He wants to come to you. And yes, He wants you to be ready for eternity. He offers you and I that marvelous, wonderful grace that covers all our sin and all our failings and all our shortcomings and lifts us up. Isn't it wonderful to speak and to think and to reflect on the grace of God? Shall we pray together? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come simply into your presence. We think for a moment about that marvelous grace. That grace that came from heaven to earth. That grace that came with saving power. That grace that can take away all sin. That grace that can wipe the slate clean. That grace that can change the world. Father, help us to speak much of the grace of our Savior. Help us to treasure it. Help us in our own hearts to thank Him for it. And help us to speak of it. The grace that gives us strength. The grace that brings us to Christ. The grace that gives us salvation. We ask this in His name. Amen.